Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. 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 All about you, Jesus. All about you, Lord. We rejoice in you. Let us magnify his name together. Oh, hallelujah. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And his faithfulness, his mercies are new every morning. Give us this day our daily bread. And not only what we need, but bread for others too. Amen. Bread for others. Thank you, Lord. As David said, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. God needs some running over believers. Amen. Yes. Overflowing Christians. Hallelujah. So we've been talking about dealing with the strongholds and dealing with the issues in our lives. There, the enemy has set up camp to rob you, you know. We get the garbage out so we can get the good in. Amen. We got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We've got to listen. We've got to agree with his counsel. And as we're doing that, we're opening a way for the grace of God to come in to our lives. Amen. And sometimes I can say this personally from experience, but my own worst enemy. Have you ever said that? Yeah, I'm my own worst enemy sometimes. Okay, at least once in your lifetime you said that. Okay. All right. But it's so true that we get in the way because sometimes we think that we have a better way, you know, than what God has revealed to us already. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are going around looking for words. You know, I need a word. Give me a word. And they're getting words, all right. They're getting all kinds of words, just enough to get them all messed up and confused and not wonder. You know, folks, we need to get a word from God ourselves. You need to have a relationship with Jesus. You need to be in the Word. Amen. You want a word? There's a book right there called the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Get that word. And then when you hear a word, you'll know if it's from God or not. You'll have discernment. By the Spirit in the Word, we can understand and distinguish between what is right and wrong, between what is true and false. Quit running all over the place looking. He said, come to me. Just come to me. Talk to me. Pour your heart out to me. And the Lord is going to give you instruction. Hallelujah. Be careful about running here and running there. Just go to him. Run to him. Run into his arms. When you find yourself being anxious and find yourself being troubled in your spirit, just pour your heart out to Jesus, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. We give it to you today, Lord, and we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Praise God. We just want to rejoice in everything that God has been doing. And he's just such a wow. I just can't imagine. I don't even know. I don't think I would be here. I mean, on the planet, that is, today, if it wasn't for Jesus. And I'm just so thankful for what he's done in my life and what I know he can do in others. If we could just say, yes, Lord, I'm done with my own way. I'm through. I give up. I came to the end of myself one day, you know. That's where it has to happen. It's when you're through with sin. It's when you're through with your life that God will pick you up and he'll put you back together. Amen. He'll transform you and he'll begin to reveal to you his life, his purpose for you. But it wasn't until that day when before I would make bargains with God and I would say, God, I'll do this if you do that. Until the day I realized that didn't work either. And God's not bargaining with us, folks. Somebody know he's Lord. And if he's Lord, that means he's in charge. He owns you. It's no longer I, like Paul said, that lives. But it's now Christ who lives in me. He was dead to the old way, to the old life. He was dead to the world, but he was alive in God. Folks, that's where it has to be. Unless a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom. Some people are just trying to patch up the old life. That don't work. You go to hell trying to patch up your old life. You must repent And you must turn to God with all your heart. You must surrender the old so that you can have the new. Amen?
Yes.
It's an exchange. My life for His. Which one is better? Hallelujah. A temporary corruptible life for an eternal, amen, incorruptible life. I think it's pretty easy, right, to answer that one. And we have experienced that joy, many of us have here, of just knowing Him and getting to know Him. Often we will say, well, do you know so-and-so? And we'll say, well, I'm getting to know so-and-so. Or sometimes we'll say, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so. Well, maybe you shook their hand and smiled at them, you know. Or you may recognize their face, but do you know that person? A lot of people have a handshake and a wink with God, you know, kind of relationship, but they don't have a personal, intimate walk with God, and that's what life is. Life is not an activity. Life is a walk with God, amen? It's a life in Christ. That's life. And, you know, Jesus didn't come to take away life. He came to give life. He didn't come to spoil your fun. He came to reveal to you what true pleasure is. What the highest treasure is, what the highest pleasure is. If you really want to know what joy is, you're going to have to go to the joy giver, the true joy giver.
Amen.
Come on, He's got good wine.
Oh, hallelujah.
He serves only the best, right?
Yeah.
He's not a bummed out God, He's a happy God.
Yeah.
And when we're possessed with Him and we drink of Him, hallelujah, you say, man, I don't need that cheap stuff anymore. I don't need the stuff of the world. I don't need to shoot up. I don't need to get stoned. Man, I just need to go to the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
Whew. There is no pleasure like the pleasure. Isn't that what the Word says? In His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, pleasures. Pleasures. Imagine that. You say to some Christians, you know, God is really pleasurable. I kind of look at you like, He is? You see, they may have a handshake relationship with Jesus. You know, high five God. Yeah, me and the man upstairs are tight, you know. But to know Him is to love Him. People who love Jesus are people that are getting to know Him. Yeah. And when you're getting to know Jesus, your life will change. Your desires change. Amen. The things that you used to be able to do that were in rebellion to God, you don't want to do anymore. Because you love Jesus. When you love somebody, you don't do things that hurt them. You don't do things that grieve them. You don't do it because I have to. It's because I want to. Under the law, they had to. In grace, you get to. You want to. So... hallelujah. Anyways, that was today's message. We'll have a closing hymn, and God is downloading this, so it's for all of us. Amen. It's for me too. So I like to listen to myself preach because I'm like, wow, I couldn't have thought of that. You know, that's the amazing thing, that God uses us, just common vessels, just regular people, and it's amazing what He'll do through our lives if we'll just yield to Him. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you'd be speaking to somebody and God is downloading something. You say, wow, that was pretty good. Guess what? It didn't come from you. It comes from Him. Amen. So we give Him the glory. We give Him the honor. We give Him the praise. We need to humble ourselves and remember He's the source. As a matter of fact, we don't have anything to give God except what He's already given to us. So we're just honoring Him with what He's already given to us. And that has to do with our finances as well. Amen? If you honor God with your tithe, and His tithe basically, and your offerings, you bring your first fruits to God, and God said that He will bless you. Amen? He said He would pour out a blessing that you would not be able to contain. I believe what God says. When you pray and when you give, you believe and you expect that God will honor His word. It's about faith. Everything we do is about faith. It's about believing what God said. You can do something that you know is an obedience, but not actually believe in what you're doing. It's called going through the motions. A lot of Christians go through the motions. They don't really believe in what they're doing, but they're doing it because, well, this is what we do as Christians. But when you pray, You can go through the motions. Well, John's been up here for 1,000 times now. We just pray. Okay, see you next week. It doesn't matter if you've been prayed for 1,000 times. When you come up to be prayed for, you come up as if, I know that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. I come with an expectation. When a woman is pregnant, she is expecting. Amen? And we get impregnated, hallelujah, with faith as we're filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you ever realize your faith rises to a new level when you're worshiping? Amen. And then we believe God as children, simply, okay, God said it, I'm going to believe it. And I'm not going to allow any other thought to get in there and say, I don't know, if it be, if maybe. Because as soon as you get to step out for God, you're going to have to take captive every thought and say, I am determined that I'm not going to believe anything else except that God is able. And come as a child and just believe. And that's when things begin to happen. When we just simply say, God said it, I believe it, and that's it. I'm not going to accept anything else. Leave the results up to God. Don't worry about it. You know, don't let the devil say, well, what if nothing happens? That in itself needs to be taken captive. It's an ungodly thought. We have been, for the last, I don't know, maybe 8 weeks or so, 8 sessions, we've been talking about pulling down strongholds. And I guess a simple way to explain that is a stronghold is an area in our lives that we have been sympathetic towards sin. It's in these areas that we do not agree with God's counsel and what he says in his word that are areas where the darkness remains in our lives. It's not enough even to hear the word. We've got to be doers of the word. Otherwise, we are deceiving ourselves. So when we receive the light, when we receive the word, we have a choice. It's like we read that article by Dr. Leaf. There's an area in the brain they've discovered in modern science that's called the free will. And when you hear a thought or information comes to you, you have to make a decision whether you're going to receive it or reject it. Now, it's easy to reject information immediately when it comes. You have the ability to say yes or no. Everybody does. But when we begin to entertain or think on or meditate on wrong information, then it ends up getting down into the deep places of our mind and our spirit, really. Spirit of our mind. And then it becomes a toxic thing, a toxic thought. And they're actually now able to actually see these things. They can have it now through scanning technique to find out where there are toxic memories in people's minds. And what they have discovered is that as somebody begins to receive the wrong information and they begin to entertain it and meditate on it and receive it as fact or reality or something that they want, that they desire, it then becomes a permanent part of their mind. Now, when you hear that, you're like, whoa, a permanent thing? You mean all this junk I brought into my mind is now permanent? Well, let me just say this, that there is a way out. There is a way of escape. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank God for the word. But it's not as easy to deal with it once it has become a toxic thought. Once it is seated down in your spirit. It's the only way out of that situation is to rebuild. We need to be renewed, Romans 12, right? In the spirit of our mind. The word of God is that light. As we should be feeding on, we should be bringing the light of God's word continually into us. What it does is it washes. And what they have found that when people begin to change their thinking, maybe they had a life of negativity. you know, or they just were all caught up in all kinds of corrupt thinking. And all of a sudden they start to change and say, I'm going to think about good things. I'm going to think about things that are true, things that are lovely, things that are pure, things that are praiseworthy. What they discovered is that all of a sudden these clean thoughts, these pure thoughts begin to overshadow and actually dissolve out the toxic thought. Wow. Now they're just discovering what the Bible already says. Amen. What God has said in His Word. But it's something that has to do with what we're talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, about pulling down strongholds, right? And taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If we don't get a hold of our thought life, and if we don't change our mind, our lives will not change. What happens is some people, they don't change in the areas that God is telling them to. For example, they like to watch certain content on television that they know God would not approve of, but they just happen to like that show. So they may come to church, they may hear the word, but then they go home and they watch the filth. What's going on? It's just contradiction going on. You can't live a double life. Amen. The Bible says in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You have to make a decision who you're going to serve. You can't have it both ways. Amen. We've got to be either all the way for Jesus, or you might as well just go to hell. Amen. And live happy on the way. I mean, that's strong, but that's the reality of it. Who are you going to serve? As a believer, we've been given the Holy Spirit. As a believer, Christ has come into our lives. He has changed us. Amen. We have a new nature. But it still does not mean that we don't struggle, amen, with the flesh. But you and I have the power in Christ to overcome. Yes. To tell the flesh, no. I'm going to live for God. You're dead to me. I'm no longer your slave. I'm no longer your servant. I'm dead, amen, to sin. I'm not a sinner in the sense that I'm not bound by it. It's not my master now. I don't accept that identity. My identity is I'm a new creation in Christ. And so as a new creation, I can't be double-minded. I have to just feed my spirit and starve out every day that old nature. Don't give it any time. Don't give it any attention. As a matter of fact, give no place to the devil. Right. How do you give place to the devil? By being sympathetic and towards evil. No big deal. God understands. Me and the Lord, we're in good. Like you have a specific, God has a specific, you know, law for you. What happens is we become a law unto ourselves. Why? When we don't receive the counsel of God, when we receive the word of truth, then we become wise in our own eyes. And, well, to me, God's like that. And to me, it's like, how many have ever done that or said that or been with somebody that said that? Repentance means to do what? Change your mind. If you change your mind, your life will change. If you refuse to change your thinking, if you refuse to take captive the thoughts that you're being bombarded with, come on, every day, all of us, we struggle, don't we? We're living in a sin-sick world. There are many demons everywhere and information that's blasting you in the face. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? Yes. You've got to take captive those thoughts and say, no, I'm not going to allow that thing because it will grieve my Lord. Because I love Jesus, I don't do those things that grieve Him. If a person doesn't really love Jesus, then they will live a life of rebellion and have no remorse. If we are born again, if we are in Christ, we have received a new nature, a new identity, one that can please God, one that desires to please God. And it's a matter of you and I making the choice. If we don't get a hold of this point, folks, then all you're going to be doing is constantly patching your life and you're going to live in defeat. Is you've got to get a hold of your thought life. Isn't it right? Isn't this true? If we don't take those thoughts captive and say, wait a minute, that does not line up with the Word of God. And so Satan is going to do everything he can to keep us out of the Word of God, because it's in the areas where there's no Word, there's the darkness. But when the entrance of the Word comes, it brings light, it exposes darkness. Now the devil says, boy, we're going to have to move to another area of darkness because we can't stay here anymore. The Word has come. They have agreed with God. They have repented. They have agreed with what God said. They have received His Word. There's two types of people. There are those who say, yes, the counsel of God is good. And there are those who say, I don't like it. I don't agree with it. And the ones who say, hey, I'll agree with that, but I don't agree with that, are the ones who may have some victory in their lives, but they're being defeated in other areas. Do you know that Jesus Christ wants his bride to be pure? He wants his church to be pure. He wants you to be pure. He doesn't want her giving herself away to anybody else, any other lovers. Sin is another lover, amen? And when we're sympathetic towards it, hey, we're just giving him license to come in and only mess us up. So it's a matter of God loving on us and telling us the truth. I know sometimes we don't like to hear it, but your parents, if you had good parents, they would tell you the truth, even though you didn't always like to hear it. But they didn't tell you that to make you miserable. They told you that because they love you. And God loves us. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you, Jesus. In Philippians 4:8, we all know this, but it's something that we really need to memorize and get in our spirit. Chapter 4 of Philippians in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And that word for meditation there means to ponder in your mind. Think on these things. In the Good News Bible, it says, in conclusion, my friends, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise. Things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. Philippians 4:8 in the New Living Translation. And now, dear friends, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. That word prosper means to push forward, break out, or move forward. But whoever confesses and forsakes them, his sins, will have mercy. Why? Because you're agreeing with God. God made us. He knows what works. If we can just say, God, I don't even like it, but I know it's right. I'm going to do it anyways. Hey, you know what? Let's put society to the test. They say, well, I don't believe any of that stuff. Well, why don't we just test it out? Let's all just put it to a test as a nation and see what happens. We start listening to what God says. Let's just do it for a week. Let's just all get together and say, well, let's experiment with what God says here. How many know that God's word is so true? Wow. How many know that that's what America needs, amen? To get back to the word of God. Not in a legalistic sense, but in a sense that this is a creator who loves me and wants a relationship with me. And as a nation, we want to exalt Jesus. We want to honor Him. The fact is that we cannot expect the world to make the difference. They're not going to get it, folks. They're not going to understand it unless the Holy Spirit opens their eyes. So we got to quit balking at fretting over evildoers. Are you with me? Because it's easy to do, man. I mean, you look at it and say, you know, but how many know that you can get in such, caught up in that funk to the point where now you're all consumed with what's broken and wrong. And now that becomes a toxic thought, and then you become a bitter person. Just complaining about what's wrong and what's broken. Folks, it's very simple. God says, if my people, was it 2 Chronicles 7:14, that are called by my name. Yeah. If you and I will get back to where we should be, our first love, and humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. That means get beyond just asking God for stuff. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Lord, I want to know You. Seek His face. And then if we will turn from our wicked ways. That's you and I. In the church is every kind of sin in America, folks. Come on. That's the problem with our nation. We're pointing the finger at people that don't know God, saying, it's your fault. That's not what God says. And you know, I brought this up at a minister's meeting one time, and oh, that's a bunch of condemnation. No, it's the truth. There's people that just, they want to tickle ears. They don't want to tell the truth. Because somebody might not like their church anymore. They might not like you. You know, if you really love somebody, you're going to tell them the truth. So it is. We must love the truth. The Word is true. And when we receive the Word and we agree with the Word, we're opening the way. The light of God comes in. The devil has to go. We pull down strongholds by receiving the counsel of God firstly. And once you identify a stronghold, it might be a stronghold of fear. It might be a stronghold of some type of addiction that you're dealing with. Amen? It may be a stronghold of gossip. It may be a stronghold of lying. It might be a stronghold of stealing. There are many strongholds. But as God begins to reveal, it may be a stronghold of lust. As He begins to reveal it, we have to come to a place where we say, God, You're right. I have to repent. I have to change my thinking about this thing. I have to forsake it. Once you can identify it, thank God that He reveals it to you. Because now you can be free. Once He reveals that area of weakness where we're being sympathetic towards sin and we're making irrationalizing it and justifying it, now God will understand. Once He identifies it, thank God for it, because it means that He's going to give you the grace to be free from it. How many know the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything for nothing? If He convicts us about something, it's not just to make you miserable. Well, it might be. Only to the point where we say, okay, God, I quit. I'm going with You. But He's loving on you. He's loving on you when He convicts you. You identify it, and then it's your choice to change your thinking, change your mind, and say, okay, God, from now on, I'm going to agree with You. And once you come into agreement with God, you receive His Word, the light comes in. Now there may be a stronghold, there may be demonic oppression in your life. You may need some devils cast out. But once you've renounced that and you've forgiven others, there's another stronghold that's due to unforgiveness towards people. And the tormentors have come and they're tormenting your life because you won't forgive people. They're going on their merry way, but you're just being tormented by them now. I identify that, say, God, there's unforgiveness. I renounce my connection with it. I release these people. I speak to them by name. And when they try to come back into my life, I just say, no, I've already forgiven you. I release you. The debt is canceled in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I forgive you. Hallelujah. Keep it off you. Amen? Because it's an infestation. It's a toxic thing. Once you identify it, then you confess it to God. Call on Jesus for His grace. Amen? And then renounce your connection to it. That means I say, I renounce my connection. Some people have what's called soul ties to old relationships. that have to be severed. What they have to do is they have to come to the place where they change their mind about those thoughts and say, hey, wait a minute, that's a toxic thought. That's not right. I'm married. I can't be having these thoughts. I can't be entertaining these thoughts. That is a stronghold. There's a connection there. Because how many know that whenever you fornicate, amen, you have sex with somebody outside of marriage, it's a spiritual thing. It's not just a physical thing. But God will set you free if you will agree with Him and come to repentance and renounce your connection. Say, I sever the tie, the soul tie, in the name of Jesus. And I refuse any longer to entertain that thought. You have the choice to make whether you're going to listen to it or not. And then start to rebuild by instead feeding yourself with the Word, feeding yourself with good thoughts. Amen? If you get around people that are just talking negative all the time like I used to do, I was a very negative person. When I first got saved, I mean, I had a lifetime of negativity. So I had in my heart, I had Jesus, and I was excited about Jesus, but I was still very negative. And I got around, I've told you this before, some of you, but I got around certain people who... There's one guy in particular who every time I'd start saying something negative, he'd come around and say something positive. Oh, it used to irk me. But he taught me a good lesson, and he loved me enough to do that. And after a while, it's like every time I got around him, I was like, well, I ain't going to say anything negative around him. How much more should we be obedient to the Spirit of Christ? Amen? Amen. To the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So... the Lord said, whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So we've got to change our mind. We've got to repent so that we'll be clean. Amen. And that way, God's light can fill us. Amen. You cannot. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us up. And we pray, God, fill me up, Lord, fill me up, Lord. But we're not willing to cooperate with Him in certain areas of our lives. And guess what? In the areas that you don't cooperate with Him, He can't fill you. That's it. It's about you. You have a free will. This is your choice. If you want me, then let's agree. Let's come to an agreement here. If you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to agree with you. Okay, what do you want me to do, Lord? Okay, done. We're serving Him. What He says goes. He's Lord. He's Master. And if you do that, then it's like, okay, here's another part that I can possess. How many have realized that what I'm saying is true? You can have the Holy Spirit just like you can have a guest in your house and completely ignore him. Or just sit there on my couch. I don't want you in my living room. I don't want you in my kitchen or... you can stay there on the couch and if you want to watch some TV, go for it, you know. We do that sometimes with God. He wants to be our honored guest. He wants you to just say, open the door, let me come in. Do you remember He was knocking on the church of Laodicea? It was a church. It was Christians He was knocking on. Say, will you open up and let me in? Because I want to heal you. I want to come in and give you light. And those who follow Him will not walk in darkness. Has anybody received anything this morning? Yes. Have you been enjoying these? I mean, it's just amazing how... you know why? Because God is getting His bride ready. He's getting His church ready. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. And I don't want to be caught with my hand in the cookie jar. Amen. I don't want to be caught holding on to something that God says, let go of. The Lord's going to say to many, why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you agree with me? I wanted to come into your life. I wanted to make your life better. I wanted to change you, but you wouldn't let me. And just because people serve Him, that doesn't justify our rebellion, folks. There are people who have an anointing, they can move in an anointing and still be living in rebellion. And if we don't agree with God, there's many that are going to say to Him in that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy in Your name? Didn't we cast out devils in Your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works in Your name? And the Lord said, I'll say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because you didn't let them in. You might have been involved, like Judas was involved in the things of the ministry. He was there. He hung out. Jesus had to be partook in the anointing. He went out with the others. But he didn't let Jesus in. He was probably rationalizing in his mind, it's okay to steal. It's just a little bit. They'll never miss it. But it started out with Judas was, remember, he was stealing from the treasury. We don't want to be like Judas. I mean, we want to be like Jesus. And whatever Jesus saw his Father do, he did that. Like Father, like Son. Whatever he heard him speak, he spoke that. If your conversation isn't lining up with what God is saying, hello, or what he would say, or what he would approve of, change your conversation. Change your thinking. If your thought life is not lining up with what God says, what God approves of, change your mind. If you don't, your life's not going to change. And all you're going to do is walk around with all these patches on an old garment. God wants you to throw away the old garment. Put that thing to death every day. Amen. Don't pick it up. Don't look at it. Don't entertain it. I'm walking with Jesus from now on. I'm walking a new life.
Yes.
Now, dear friends, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You know, we all like a good story. We all like a juicy story, right? Oh, yeah. What'd you hear? Oh, I didn't hear that. I'll tell you what I heard. Did you hear what I heard about, you know, who? And uh-oh. Wait a minute. That's toxic. If you're going to say something about somebody, folks, and this is something we all got to get a hold of, and once in a while it catches me off guard, too. Is you've got to say something good about him.
Amen.
This guy I used to work with, he'd do the same thing. So, you that bozo boss we have, you know. And he'd come out and he'd say, oh, yeah, but check this out about her, you know. And she's this and that. And he'd bring out some good point. So, oh, man. I ain't hanging around you anymore. And you know, we have a choice to make, because what will happen is birds of a feather will flock together. And if you hang out with people that are, you know, if you just want to be around people like you, you'll just continue to be like you. But if you want to be more like Jesus, be around people that are like Jesus. And be like Jesus yourself, so that you will be a good influence to them. How do you do that? It's right back to the very basics again. Saying, Lord, your word is my standard. Your word is my truth. The voice of truth tells me a different story. The world says this, but you say this. I'm going to accept what you say. And when I come into agreement with you, favor, blessing, amen, comes into your life. The light, the grace of God is poured into you. Hallelujah. You're free. You're not being tormented anymore. You're free indeed. And now you're in position to bless others and help others get free. There's a lot of people that want to run into ministry, but they're not dealing with the issues of their own hearts. They haven't got to first base yet, where they haven't really repented. Come on. Sometimes we have to repent of that sin of idolatry. Remember that, what that is, right? Where we're fashioning a God to suit ourselves. God's going to be like this to me. Because, well, that's just the way I want Jesus to be. Well, he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're the ones that have to change. So I have to agree with God. And you know, again, folks, this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. Whenever you agree with God, it's always a good thing. You know, there's a lot of joy in this house this morning. There's a lot of joy. And you know why? Because we're getting free. And I find that the freer you get, the more joy there is in your life. And we're all in the a work in progress, by the way. Amen? So don't look at your neighbor and say, boy, this word was for them today. Because it's a word for me. It's a word for all of us. We're here to help each other through. We're here to build. We're here to edify, to encourage, and to spurn one another on to love and good works that will glorify the Father. Amen. As our lives are clean, as we're living a holy life, as that means we're integrated into Him who's holy, we're agreeing with Him who's holy, then there will be fruit, good fruit. And the world will say, hey, I want some of that fruit. I want what you have. This is life-giving. These words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How many are realizing today that I'm speaking to you by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven? Amen. It's not about me. It's about God and His will. And we simply yield and God says, okay, psh, say this, say that. And there's some people like, oh. I listened to a good message yesterday afternoon. I wanted to crawl under the, you know, it's like, wow, he's right. But you know what? Yeah, I still get convicted, believe it or not. As holy as I am. Yeah. Pray for him. Humility, Lord. Humility. I want you to feel it's okay, all right? It's a safe place here. Just say, hey, I'm having a problem. The problem is too much of the church, we've been so harsh and judgmental and legalistic that people come in, they're just terrified to let anybody know that they might have a problem. And the same people that they won't talk to their problem about, they have problems too, believe it or not. But they don't want to tell them either because they're afraid that they'll be judged. That's a tragedy that's happened in the body of Christ. Now, Jesus said that the word that I spoke to those, when he was speaking to the people, he said, these words I speak to you, that same word is going to judge you in the last day. So either you accept it or you reject it. And now, if you receive the counsel of God, it's going to go well for you. But if you reject it, guess what? When you stand before Jesus, he's going to say, remember the word, and you will. Why did you reject my counsel? I wanted to do all these things in your life, but you refused. You would not listen. Even as Jesus wept over Jerusalem, he said, how often I wanted to take you under my wing, you know? I just wanted to shower my love on you and bless your life, but you refused. You would refuse to listen to me. You know, the Lord grieves. He grieves over us sometimes because we're not listening. How many times does he have to talk to us? How many times? Folks, I don't know how many times that is, but I do know this, that God has demonstrated in the Word that there is a time when he says enough. Are you with me today? There are some people, they will not listen and he says enough. We're done. But let that not be any of us here. Amen. We've heard truth today. God is speaking. Would you just say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We're going to do it your way.
Yes,
no longer my way, Lord. But your way. Teach me your ways. Lead me in your paths. For
your namesake.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.